Right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, as we have already seen this morning, Lord, the great hope that we have. And we do thank you, Lord, that as by your grace we are saved through faith, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we praise you for that. We do pray, Lord, as we have our afternoon, we pray that we be attentive, that our hearts would be filled with your Spirit today, and that you would just go before us. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you'd like to open to Galatians, we continue our little walk through that wonderful epistle of Paul's there. Okay, Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And we're going to be starting in verse 10 there. And I'll read a few verses. We'll be looking at a few, but I'll just read a few to start with. So it says to us, therefore, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that shall live in them, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You know, we're looking today at freedom from the law. You know, you notice I spent a bit of time in Goulburn in prison ministry, and at Goulburn is the highest security prison in the country. And when you go in there, everything is rules and regulations. You've got to give thumbprints to even get in to minister to anybody. And, you know, I was astounded at just how serious the rules and regulations are there. It wasn't a prison farm in any sense of the matter. People were segregated, locked away in certain areas. And I come home and I said to Deborah, I said, man, that's the first place I've ever been into where it felt like there was no spirit at all. That's how dead it was in there. And I thought, wow, what a place to be in. But people in prison are surrounded by rules and regulations. And if you step outside those rules, it brings further punishment upon them. And the sentence a prisoner receives must be carried out according to the rules. Now, some prisoners, they get released under parole, but that's not set free. They are still under the conditions of their sentence until their time is served. But even when the parole is finished, they are still guilty of the crime that they committed. Now, very few, and I mean very few, ever receive a pardon. Now, a pardon is where a prisoner has been found wrongly accused and sentenced for a crime, and they are set free without any blot on their reputation at all. And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the difference between the law and grace. We've been pardoned. We've been set free. When God looks at us, he doesn't see the sentence, the guilt, or anything of our sin. That sin has been placed on Christ and has been dealt with. And there's no record, there's no blot on our lives. And praise God for that. First thing is the curse of the law. Now, when it comes to God's law, every law had to be obeyed, and it had to be obeyed perfectly in the minutest detail. No part of the law at all could be broken or neglected. The person, he or she, had to obey all of it, every jot and tittle of it. Now, verse 10 of Galatians 3 said, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. I think I mentioned a while ago, you know, that when God gave the law to Moses, the Pharisees added some 600 other laws just to protect that law. and incredible that what the people had to go through. It was interesting, when I was at Bible study college, one of the things I'd love to study was the manners and customs of the Bible. And you know, they had a law that see on you could only go so far on a Sabbath day, otherwise you couldn't go anywhere. But they added to that law that you were allowed to pick up a spoon. So what they used to do, this is true, what they used to do, they would go around and put spoons on the hay that they had cut in the fields, and then on the Sabbath they could pick up the hay bale because they were picking up a spoon. Imagine living under that. Or they would leave a piece of clothing. If you left clothing somewhere, you could go further than the Sabbath day journey to get your clothes. So the night before, if people would arrange family meetings, they would go miles and miles and drop a coat off, so on the Sabbath day they could then go and have fellowship and pick up their coats. So some of the things are just ridiculous. Praise God, we're not under those sort of laws. But they had to obey. So notice it says all things in that verse. That means they had to obey every law all of their life. James 2:10 reminds us, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of what? All. You couldn't make one mistake, not one error. Now it's easy to see that salvation this way is not possible. How could an imperfect man keep God's perfect, holy, and righteous law without breaking even one tiny piece of it? He can't. So unless we are saved by grace through faith, plus nothing else, then there's no salvation for us at all. Because salvation must be entirely of the Lord or and apart from man. There's nothing we can do to earn it. Now in all things, in Deuteronomy 27, we read it there. It says, cursed be the man that make any graven image or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and put it into a secret place. All the people shall say amen. And the list goes on in Deuteronomy 27. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father and mother. All the people said amen. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. Cursed be he that perverteth judgment. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law. And the list goes on. All things, they had to keep every single law. But everything man has ever put his hand to, he has corrupted. Now, God is not the author of corruption. God is holy. All his works are holy. And he accepts nothing less than holiness. In fact, Hebrews 12:14 tells us, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So for the curse of the law is that no one can keep it. No one at all. Verse 11 of our text in Galatians 3 there tells us that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now you find the last part of that verse is mentioned four times in God's word. Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. You've got Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith. And in our text. Now, Habakkuk tells us in chapter 3:17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments." See, we see there a man who humbles himself before God and trusts God, the one who leans upon God, looks to God, that's the man who's blessed. There can be woes all around him. There could be judgments without. There could be heartbreak within that person. There could be fears beside them. There could be disasters behind them. But in spite of all that, the one who lives with God lives through all of that in peace, because the just shall live by faith. We can trust God that he will come through no matter what. Now, I was reading of a man, and he lived in the northern hemisphere, and he had to get to the other side of this lake. And this lake was completely frozen, like it was just solid. And he comes to this lake, and he had a little bit of a look at it, and he could see the water moving underneath the ice. So he says, "Man, now what have I got to do? I've got to get across the other side here, and I can't stay another moment on this side. I've got to get to the other side." So he got down on all fours, and he started to slowly crawl across this ice-covered lake, and he can hear the cracks of the ice, and he's halfway out there, and then he hears this loud noise. So he looks behind him, and here's a man with a dog sled fully laden with wood, and he comes across, and he's going, "This guy's going to come across the lake with all of this." And this guy just went straight across that lake to the other side. And this man's just going, "Wow, how could someone do that?" Well, it's easy. The just shall live by faith. You don't have to worry. We don't have to be concerned. We're not under any law. It is Christ who keeps us. We don't keep him. The only place we keep him is safe in our hearts, keep him in our thoughts and our mind and in our daily walk. Now, man might live by the law if he could keep the law, but no one ever has and no one ever will. No one could ever keep the conditions of the law, because Romans 3:23, say it with me, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And if man is to live and not die, he must find life through the grace of God. And through grace we are saved by faith. Not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. See, the only escape, the step of faith must be taken to avoid the penalty of death and receive the pardon of life. Set free. No record. Nothing. Signed, sealed in the blood of Christ. Free. When I get to glory, and God's not going to look back in the book and say, "Well, listen, Dennis, you've got 10 good things here, but oh, look, sorry, there's 11 bad things here. You can't come in." He's going to open the book, and he's just going to see a page covered in the blood of his son. And he's going to say, "Come on in. You're saved through the blood of the Lamb. You're justified by faith, not the works of the law." You see, once we've taken the step of faith to believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we avoid the penalty of death, we receive the pardon of life, and once that step is taken, the law has no more claim upon the person. None at all. Verse 12, "And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." And what we see there's a question set before us, and it's a question of doing or believing. Now that's a quote from Leviticus 18:5, where we read, "Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord." You see, if we seek salvation by the law, then it is necessary we must do everything the law requires, because God's going to accept nothing less than perfection in holiness which is impossible for us to keep. The law was not given to save anybody. We know the law is a schoolmaster, and by the law comes a knowledge of sin. That's what we're told in Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. See, the one beautiful thing of the gospel, isn't it? It says, believe and live. It does not say, do and live. It says, believe and live. Now, after salvation, we work, we do, we live, we sacrifice. But we do all of that because we love Jesus. We don't do it to earn his love. We serve him out of appreciation in our hearts for the salvation he so graciously provided and he so freely gives when we believe on his name. Now, how precious that name should be to every believer. And by God's grace, may we not be foolish enough to think we can ever please God in the flesh. God said in Matthew 3:17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. That's Matthew 17. See, the only way we can please God is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is hard to please him. Is that what it says? It says it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. See, we are only, once we believe on his name, only then are we accepted, Hebrews 1:16 tells us, in the Beloved. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are placed into the body of Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30, until the day of redemption, until the day the Lord takes us home, and everything will be finished. We are led by the Holy Spirit in the paths of right living. Psalm 23, go home and study. It should be something we should all memorize. And it's good to know, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't fear any evil, we fear nothing. We know the Lord's rod and staff shall comfort us, protect us, watch over us. We're led beside still waters. Still waters usually run deep. They're refreshing, clear. And if a person wants to go to heaven, then they've got to realize that they are hopelessly lost. They have no redemption as far as their own works and effort is concerned in pleasing God. A person must realize they are dead in trespasses and sin, and by faith come to Jesus. They reach out with the hand of faith and they receive the gift of God. You can't have a gift any other way than receive it. And that gift is the only begotten Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1:12, we should all know, but as many as they became, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of God, but, nor of the will of man, I should say, but of God. Our job in salvation is to receive. Believe and receive. Secondly, Christ bore the curse of the law for us. Verse 13 of Galatians 3. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Again in Deuteronomy, in chapter 21, 22, we read, and if a man hath committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain there all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Now, Deuteronomy 13, you go to then verses 8 to 11, we won't read them, but it tells us there the Jewish method of executing somebody, a criminal, they did it by stoning them to death, not hanging them. But if they really wanted to make a statement, if they really wanted to bring shame on the person they had executed, they would then take them and hang their stone body from a tree. Now God had brought it to pass that the death of Jesus would be on a tree. That's what the cross symbolizes, a tree. And God allowed this to fulfill the prophecy of the curse Jesus became when he was made a curse for us. Now Revelation 13:8 tells us, and all that dwelleth upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the Lamb of Life slain from the foundation of the world. Listen, Gentiles have never been under the law. We are not under the law today and never will be. The law was given by God to the nation of Israel, of which the tribe of Judah was a part. So Jesus was made a curse for his brethren in the flesh so they could become the sons of God by faith. You see, they could receive the blessing of Abraham, which is justification by faith, if they would only believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the majority of them refused to accept Christ as God's Lamb, the one and only Savior of sinners. Instead, they looked on him as a Nazarite born in fornication. In fact, the Jewish saying was always, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And when Jesus hung on that cross, when he cried out those awful words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was then he tasted death for us. He went through the pains of hell on our behalf. Now, during the days of Jesus, during his days, the Romans regarded crucifixion as the most shameful and disgraceful death there could be. They wouldn't even allow a Roman citizen to be hanged in that way. Now, it's been noted during the early days of Christianity, again in manners and customs, that the Jews called Christians worshippers of the hung one. That's what they used to say. Worshippers of the hanged one, I think it was. But Jesus died that disgraceful death, that shameful death, that we might be delivered from the shame and guilt of sin. And the natural man does not understand the cross until they come to it. Until they trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on his name, they do not understand the cross. And the sad thing is, many believers, having sat at the foot of that cross long enough to truly understand the meaning and the depth of what happened and what that meant to save our souls. First Corinthians 1:18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, it's foolishness, but unto us which is saved, it is the power of God. Man, that power is unlimited. Remember, just from memory, remember the St. Helens volcano in America? It exploded many years ago. I was reading once about that the explosion knocked down a forest that had the amount of timber to build over 3 million homes. That's incredible. It destroyed things for miles and miles. It just wiped out completely. And that is just a speck. That's just a tiny little speck of the power of God that has saved us and made us right with Him and given us the set us free and pardoned us from the guilt and penalty of sin. Man, can you imagine the power that would raise someone from the dead? Now we see the us in verse 13 is to the Jew. They were the ones under the curse. They were under the law of Moses. The law, remember when you think of the temple and the descriptions there, it was the middle wall of partition that divided the Jew from the Gentile. And in Ephesians 2:14, we read, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make of himself twain one new man, so making peace." You see, those who try and keep people under the law with the practice of all the rituals of the law need to be aware of the wrong that they are doing. Because I can tell you now, the day of judgment is not going to go very well for them. Because the penalty was paid, the demands of the law was met in Jesus Christ. Verse 14 of our text, Galatians, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The message here to the Jew is that they are being shut out of the blessing by the law, you see. They honored this law and they didn't realize it shut them out from the blessing that they could have had in Abraham, being justified by faith. The Gentiles could never have been blessed by the law. But if the Jews had, by faith in the death of Jesus Christ, exercised that faith in his finished work on the cross, then on the same grounds as the Gentiles, they could also receive the blessings provided by God, which we know are the blessings of faithful Abraham. Notice in verse 13, it is us talking to the Jew, now it is we referring to all believers. Now we see two purposes of this work of grace through our Redeemer. The extension, as mentioned, of the blessing is now to Jew and Gentiles. The second is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all those who accept Christ by faith. You see, there can be no experience of Christ or His kingdom unless one has been endued with power from on high by the Holy Spirit. And praise God, this is by faith, not works. Romans 8:3-4 says, "For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So it doesn't say fulfilled by us. It says fulfilled in us. It is Christ in us who is the one who fulfills the righteousness of the law, because he didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And Colossians 1:27, a beautiful verse, "To whom God would make known the riches, what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Listen, it's very clear, if Jesus is not in you, then you have not been born into the family of God. We're born in the family of God by the Word and the Spirit. And if He's not in you, you cannot and you will not fulfill the righteousness of the law. It's impossible for an unsaved man to do so. And Christ lives in the believer. He lives in us. And the believer, we could not even fulfill the law or keep the law, but praise God, the righteousness of the law, which we could not meet, is ours when we possess Jesus Christ. We have been delivered from the law. We were hopeless and helpless and bound for hell. We were condemned completely before we received Jesus, but then He took all the sin, all our condemnation. He was nailed to a tree in disgrace and shame so that we would receive the adoption of sons. And it is good that we are through with the law forever. It has no power over any believer. Christ is our head. He's our Savior. He is our Redeemer. He is our Keeper, because we abide in Him by faith. Simple faith. And man has twisted it and taken it and made it so complicated and put people back under the law. And that's what's happening in Christianity today. It's had its liberal moments. It's had its time where we can do whatever we like, and it's getting back to now. They call it it's an AF movement. I can't think of it now, but it's about the people are going back to rituals and trying to keep the freedom to please themselves. And they'll never be pleasing of themselves, because without Christ, God can't be pleased. And if God's not pleased with us, we'll never be pleased with ourselves. You know, what a wonderful position for us to be in. Positionally, we are righteous before God in Christ Jesus. Doesn't get any better than that. But the question is, and it's a real test of this faith, and has nothing to do with our salvation, but because we are saved, are we willing to pay the price in our prayer life? Are we willing to pay the price in our obedience, to put in the effort to how do I put it? See, we all have the Spirit within us, but can I say, do you really know the fullness of the Spirit? The real fullness of the Spirit that teaches us and keeps us away from what could harm us and hurt us. Are we putting in the obedience and the prayer needed to know that fullness of the Spirit's power, which cost Jesus Christ such a horrible death to make that available to us? That's the question. Are we really willing to surrender to Him? We have the pardon, but are we going to use that for His glory? As the world is it starting to draw us away with its attractions, or is the cross drawing us towards itself through what Christ did for us on it? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You so much that You became the curse for us, that you took it all, Lord, all the guilt and all the shame, so that we could be right with our great and mighty God. We thank you for it. Father, again we ask, if there's anyone here not saved, that they would seek someone out before they go home today, that they would come to you by faith, believing what you did was for them personally, and receive you as their Saviour. Because there is no other way but through Christ. These things we pray in his precious name. Amen.